So we measure disinformation using different metrics to capture different aspects. Like, for example, we measure discoverability, which is like a prevalence measure of how much disinformation is going on. We also measure the engagement of disinfo posts compared to non-disinfo posts. And we also describe the characteristics of disinformation actors on these platforms.
This is Click to Trust, a podcast that delves into the intricate challenges of protecting online communities. In the last episode of Click to Trust, I spoke with Tom Davidson about the impact of social media on politics and how populist parties benefit from online spaces. In this episode, we'll hear from Trust Lab's own Xiaolin Zhao about measuring online misinformation through the European Union's Code of Practice on Disinformation. The Code of Practice is a voluntary framework signed by social media platforms, tech companies, and civil groups to combat disinformation. In our conversation, Xiaolin shared her team's findings on the spread of online misinformation on major social media platforms. She also stressed the critical need for cross-collaboration between governments and platforms to raise awareness about the dangers posed by misinformation. Hi, Xiaolin. First of all, you are a member of the Trust Lab team, which is our company. If for those listeners who didn't know, this podcast is powered by Trust Lab. And Xiaolin is a member of the team who was involved in a really interesting report that we did, which is called the Code of Practice Report, a comparative analysis of disinformation across social media platforms in Poland, Slovakia, and Spain. And we're here to talk about misinformation. It's been the topic of the last few episodes. And I wanted to really zoom in and look at the ways that we have investigated it as a company. And so to begin, hello, Xiaolin. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me. Could you please introduce yourself? Tell us about what you do and yeah.
Hi, everyone. My name is Xiaolin. I'm a software engineer at Trust Lab, where I build software solutions to protect internet safety. So my primary focus is building trust and safety policy classifiers using large language models. I've also worked on measuring disinformation across social media using data analytics and stats. So before Trust Lab, I got my PhD in sociology from Harvard. I guess today we're going to talk about Code of Practice. It is a project that my team and I did in 2023 to measure disinformation under the Code of Practice in EU.
That's awesome. Like, we can expect very smart answers from you then. Could you explain what is the Code of Practice? What is this report about? Why is it important?
So the Code of Practice in EU is a really cool framework. It is a voluntary code signed by social media platforms, tech companies, and then civil groups to protect and combat disinformation within EU. So it requires very broad like participation, transparency, and regular monitoring.
What was looked at in this study particularly?
So the Code of Practice measures six structural indicators about different aspects of disinformation. In our study, we looked at the first two, the prevalence and the sources of disinformation.
And could you define misinformation and disinformation so we can help our listeners understand what we'll be talking about today?
So these terms sound very close and they're often mistaken together. So misinformation refers to false or misleading information without the intent to deceive or harm. On the other hand, disinformation has the intent to mislead and manipulate and maybe gain some advantage from it.
So it's something we have talked about before, and I wanted to understand it in the context of this Code of Practice report. How was this study conducted? And actually, like, what is really the goal of a study like this? What does it help people to understand?
So the goal of our study is to comparatively measure the level of disinformation on six platforms in three countries, which are Spain, Slovakia, and Poland. So we measure disinformation using different metrics to capture different aspects. Like, for example, we measure discoverability, which is like a prevalence measure of how much disinformation is going on. We also measure the engagement of disinfo posts compared to non-disinfo posts. And we also describe the characteristics of disinformation actors on these platforms.
Why is it important to measure misinformation?
I think misinformation is one of the very critical problems that we're having on the internet. Maybe the most important. I think the misinformation problem can be related to a lot of like issues like, you know, influencing public opinion, public policies, and democratic processes. So I think understanding like how misinformation works and coming up with effective countermeasures are very important.
Yeah, totally agree. Especially like after all the conversations I've been having lately and in the year of elections, it's such an important topic. So what did you find in the study? Was there anything that really surprised you?
Yes, I think the biggest surprise is that, you know, we use a number of metrics in this study and sometimes they intersect in very like interesting and unexpected ways. Like, for example, some platforms are doing really well on discoverability, which means they have a low ratio of disinformation posts, but they're actually doing worse in terms of absolute number of engagement on those posts. So they're not always doing better like in the on different metrics. And also, I've also observed some cases where some platforms are doing well in terms of relative engagement. So their misinfo posts don't get a lot of more attention compared to misinfo posts, but then they do worse in absolute number of engagement. So I think this tells us that it's important to have this variety of metrics to get a more complete picture of how the platforms are doing.
You mentioned absolute engagement and a couple of other metrics. Could we take a step back for you to explain what the parameters were in the study?
Yes, that's a good tip. So in the study, we measure a number of metrics. So the first one is discoverability. So it's kind of like a prevalence measure. So it tells us like what's the ratio of posts that we found by searching disinformation keywords, how many of those, like what's the ratio of those posts that are actually like disinformation or misinformation. So it gives us a sense of like, suppose there's a bad actor motivated to find bad content on the platform and they go search for the bad keyword and how likely are they actually going to locate the content. So that's discoverability. We also measure like engagement ratio. So this is comparing the amount of engagement that a misinfo post got compared to like the average engagement that a non-misinfo post get. And also I want to note that by engagement, I mean the sum of like comments, reactions, and likes the post get whenever they're available on the platform.
And what is the difference between the ratio of engagement and absolute engagement? Because you mentioned absolute engagement.
Yes.
I just want to make sure.
Yes. So relative engagement is a ratio comparing misinfo posts to non-misinfo posts. And the absolute means, you know, we just count the total number of reactions on the platform. So the ratio could be small, but then you have a really large absolute number. So it's possible that those two are not going in the same direction.
I think I understand now. And you mentioned, correct me if I'm wrong, that you were surprised by the fact that some platforms had lower engagement, but they had higher prevalence or higher discoverability. Does this mean that it has to do with the algorithm, or is it the nature of the platform itself? Like we could be talking about Twitter mm-hmm. versus Facebook.
Yeah, I think misinfo and disinformation are very complex problems, and there are usually like multiple actors and processes like contributing to the problem. So I think on the platform side, the algorithms that, you know, the keyword search results with the feed recommendations will definitely play a very important role. And also, having said that, I think some platforms are doing a very active role combating misinfo. Like, for example, they apply like warning labels for dubious information. I think those are very like useful steps to help the users understand what informations are high quality or not. And then on the other hand, I think misinfo like messages tend to be like very novel and like polarized, and they target very niche audience. So the nature of those messages also make it very easy to spread. So there's definitely like a number of different processes going on.
Speaking of the type of information, could you speak to some of the topics that you were looking at through the keywords?
Yes. So for our study, we used keyword search to find misinfo posts. So it is a really critical step to make sure that the keywords represent, you know, the major trending popular disinformation topics in those countries. And we work with like local researchers and market specialists to make sure we get like dynamic trending keywords. So on top of my head, I think some of the major topics in those countries are definitely like elections. Like it was around the time of election in those countries. and there's still some COVID-related information.
Oh, there's still COVID. Do you feel like we started caring more about misinformation? I mean, obviously, you have a PhD in sociology, like you have been in this field for a while. But do you think the general public has started caring more about misinformation because of COVID and because of maybe the 2016 presidential election? Historically, like, do you feel like there was an event that shifted like the public perception of, oh, there's fake news online?
I think the problem of misinformation exists before the internet age, but it has definitely grown so much and expanded since the internet and social media and now maybe Gen AI. Yeah, I think many people would think maybe the 2016 election is like a transitioning point that people are really paying attention to the issue. Yeah, I think there are a lot of challenges with misinformation with those new technologies and tactics. And we also, at the same time, have like more advanced technologies to detect and monitor misinformation.
I mean, it's like as misinformation grows, at least we know that there's also growing technologies to help fight it, I guess, hopefully going fast enough. How can the findings of this study help us get better at spotting and stopping misinformation on our feeds?
That's a really good question. Yeah, I want to like point out again that this study is mostly based on like keyword searches, and we find misinfo posts through keywords. It's very different from like finding misinformation on feed. So I think based on our study, we get a good sense of like what's the trend and then characteristics of disinformation posts and users. And I think those are very useful information to transfer to think about disinformation on the platform holistically. Like, for example, it is true that disinformation can be measured, probably yield very different findings if you look at feed, or if you have direct access to the platform data, you can sample and draw measurement. But I think through our study, we can have a better understanding like the process, the sources of this information, which can empower users to look for credible and fact-checked information and avoid less credible sources. And also, I think by pointing out the existence of this big problem of misinfo, we can also maybe like help platforms to realize the problem and then adopt measures like warning labels or making the sources more transparent to also empower users to evaluate their information.
Yeah, that's a really good point on both the raising awareness, but also like maybe platforms themselves can do something about this. Do you feel like platforms are doing something about this? And can you give examples?
Yes, I feel hopeful that there's a lot that the platforms can do. Like, for example, on Facebook, you can find like misinformation posts being labeled and then attached to a fact check articles to verify it. And also on Twitter and SX, there have been like community efforts to detect misinformation.
Hopefully we'll see even more of that across other platforms. You mentioned that the study looks at several different platforms, a lot of which we probably use. You mentioned Twitter and Facebook. Could you talk about like what those platforms are and some of the findings of the study, like which platform had more misinformation, which platform had more discoverability, etc.?
So we have measured misinformation from a number of like different perspectives. In terms of discoverability, we found that the highest ratio of misinformation posts on search results was Twitter, and then followed by Facebook. YouTube had the smallest ratio of disinformation. As for engagement with the misinfo posts, we found that Twitter had the largest relative post engagement, which means their misinfo posts had more engagement than non-misinfo posts. But Twitter actually had a moderate absolute number of engagement. So the relative and absolute engagement measures don't always go together. We also measured the ratio of disinformation actors on the platforms. And here again, the platforms with a larger discoverability also tend to have more disinformation actors.
Speaking of actors, you mentioned the word bad actor a couple of times. I just want to make sure our listeners understand what that means. Could you explain?
Yes, thank you for calling that out. Yes, in our study, we defined disinformation actors using a series of criteria. Like, for example, they will like post three or more misinformation posts, and then maybe they have a large following or they're super active. So we use those criteria to identify disinformation actors.
So these are people that are purposefully spreading misinformation, right? So that would be considered disinformation because they're doing it to spread harm almost. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah, those users tend to be repeat spreader of disinformation. So it kind of implies they have an intent to mislead.
Where do you think the battle against misinformation is going from here? What are the challenges that we're facing right now in 2024? Mm-hmm. And what challenges do you think we're going to face in the future, near future, let's say?
I think the fight against mis and disinformation will probably become very intense, given the new technologies and all the misinformation tactics that are available nowadays. The challenges could be like, you know, AI-driven content and also like critical global affairs, like warfares that could incite misinformation. But I also hope that there'll be more advanced technologies to detect and combat misinformation.
Yeah, hopefully. But let's hope for that. And finally, are you planning on conducting any more of these studies? Are you changing the methodology at all?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. So we're actually renewed for a second measurement for Code of Practice. Yes, so my colleagues are working on this project right now, and they're aiming for like a larger sample size and also rigorous methodology to have a continuous view of the trend of misinformation.
That's awesome. And for anybody that is curious on reading the study that we've been talking about, I'm going to link it in the description, whether you're on YouTube or whatever platform you're on, you should find a link. If the link doesn't work, just go to trustlab.com and go to resources, Code of Practice on Misinformation. Xiaolin, is there anything else you'd like to share today about Code of Practice, about your work? This is your chance.
Yeah, thank you for having me coming to talk about misinformation and our work in Code of Practice. Our report is both published on TrustLab website and also the EU website. Please go and check it out. It's a really good and useful study. And yeah, misinformation is a very big challenge and also a really important problem to address in our society. And I hope we can have more cross-sector collaboration, like under the Code of Practice in EU, and just more like awareness and education for the public, and we will have a society with less misinformation.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, thank you so much, Xiaolin. Have an amazing day.
Thank you, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
On the next episode of Click to Trust, we'll continue to dissect the topic of misinformation as we face one of the biggest years of elections on a global scale. Thank you for tuning in, and see you next time.